very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Run-Through, your favorite figure skating podcast where we talk about all the things that make us kiss, make us cry in the year 2026 and on the way to St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, Missouri.
Are we calling it that?
I guess. Why not?
I've been calling it Misery.
Well,
now
I
listen.
I will tell you that the last time that I was in St. Louis was 20 years ago for the U.S. Championships in 2006. And in that free skate, I did do a 2.5 flip that I landed forward, fell onto my back, and slid feet first into the wall.
You landed forward but fell onto your back. So you kind of completed
finished it on the way down.
Rotation on the way
no
to the ice no.
no because I didn't like cheat the jump full like I landed forward 2.5 perfect clean rotations and then continued to skate in the direction of the forward blade and I knew it wasn't going well when I got up and I like peeled myself up from the wall and I could see my disappointed coach going, oh boy.
I think, Adam, you and I were talking about U.S. championships. When you said that was 20 years ago, I was mm-hmm. like, he must be talking about a time he went to nationals.
On a
like
family
a
trip.
Yeah.
On a family
as a
trip.
Sweeper.
And then I was like, wait a second. I was in St. Louis as well. That was 20 years ago. And it was the year that your favorite program of mine, I believe.
Yeah. King Henry.
Yes, and there's a moment that's really shocking.
I would say shocking.
It's full speed into a donkey kick.
It's
a Charlotte donkey kick hybrid.
So in Ashley's short program, I think.
Yes.
She looks like she's having like some might describe it as an epileptic like attack, shock.
Yeah.
It's this whatever event. Those kids got when they were watching the Pokemon movie where they like had epilepsy.
I think you're looking for the word seizure.
Yeah.
That's what I am. Yes. That's what I am. And Ashley does do her footwork and she skates full speed and she does a Charlotte and she grinds to a halt on her toe pick.
Vagina to the judges. And
it's incredible.
Yeah.
The last time I was in St. Louis.
That's when I knew I was meant to be a performer.
Well.
Not a jumper. When was the last time you were in St. Louis?
2021
Why?
Summer. Gymnastics Olympic trials.
Wow.
Wow.
And here we go again.
Here we go again, 5 years later.
It loves to be an Olympic city. Who knew?
Yeah. No, they were a great host for gymnastics trials. And that was like a really fun event because it was right before the Tokyo Olympics. And it was the only event the gymnasts really had with a lot of people at it that year because nobody went to Tokyo. But that was when like Simone Biles won, Suni Lee got second. So I would say, you know, Simone didn't go on to have a great Olympics. I don't know if that
twisties.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But Suni Lee went on to be Olympic champion. So
she did.
You know, I'd say net positive.
Right.
And I would say now, all that time later, Simone is fine.
I think she's fine.
She doesn't have the twisties anymore.
So no,
she's
learning
new
boobs.
Better.
She's learning how to ice skate.
Oh my God, she does have new boobs. I went down an entire like rabbit hole of that story. And she tells people exactly what she got. I'm like, okay, make note.
No, yeah, I mean, she started posting pictures of it after Paris. And people were like,
on the operating table.
Did she get whatever? And everyone was like, I don't know. It looks like it, but like, we don't know for sure. And then she went to, I think, the ESPYs and just like tagged her surgeon. And that
I
was
love
the
hilarious.
I love that.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
That's incredible. That is incredible work. Also, another thing that's shocking that we were at St. Louis 20 years ago. Sasha Cohen was the women's champion. That's where she won her first and only U.S. title.
Oh my God.
I know. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And then 10 years ago is when I won my national title. 10 years ago. I know. Wow. We didn't celebrate one of your, I mean, you
I knew
why?
That. It was in the famous setting of Wicked, Minnesota.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was there for that.
The Wizard
World
was
famous.
There.
Yeah. 10 years ago was my first nationals as a researcher for NBC.
Wow. And you've
look
never
how far
looked
we've
back.
Come. Now we're
look
podcasters.
How far we've come.
Yeah, now we're podcasters. Derogatory.
I love when people say it like it's a dirty word.
It is a dirty word.
It is
well,
a dirty word.
It's the intonation that people say it with.
Podcasters.
Ugh. Yeah. Now they say it with the same way you'd say domestic terrorist. Like it's like it's let
I
me
mean,
live.
And you know what? Some podcasters
are
toe that line.
They do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty close. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're doing that.
Well, no. Speaking of towing the line.
But let's see.
Okay.
Go on.
Ashley.
There is a TikTok video that mm-hmm. someone put together of a clip of our show where we're talking about Wakaba Higuchi's mm-hmm. Friendship,
uh-huh.
if you will, with Kaori.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, I will.
I won't.
Has been laid over like a montage of their friendship. I think it has
it's
close
a
to like
edit.
A million views.
Hey. Yeah. Well, it's because it mentions heated rivalry, and I feel like that show is just so popular
so
right
true.
Now that it's like gonna hit a bunch of people's algorithms.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
And I also just have to say, like, whatever it takes to get Wakaba Higuchi into the zeitgeist even
that's
further,
that's the thing. She deserves
I'll
to be.
I'll do it.
A name on everyone's lips.
Yes.
Are you guys seeing my camera zoom in and out
I
on
really
me?
I really am.
Trying
it's giving me motion sickness.
I know. I'm like, I don't like it. Okay.
It's the void.
Anyway, if you're not watching this on YouTube
thank
or
God
Patreon,
you're in the middle.
You don't have to watch this, but I am, you know, going to attempt to fix it.
I'm not looking at Sarah because
don't
it.
Look at me. Don't look at me.
I've had too many concussions for you to be moving this much on my screen.
But that video is from a very loyal listener because they've made a lot of edits of the show that have kind of blown up.
No,
right, no,
I love it.
They
make great videos.
We have to bring them onto our social media team.
Yeah, we need to give them a gift.
Yeah. And the gift right now is just the shout out that they exist. What is their handle? Couldn't tell you.
Waka Baby.
Waka
Baby Blue?
It's Waka Baby.
Okay.
Is the handle.
It's Waka Baby.
The display name is Blue.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get started on U.S. championships that we will be previewing.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. checked that it hasn't happened yet, and it hasn't.
We're pretty sure.
That's good news.
I wrote down a list of things I wanted to talk to you all about.
This is insane.
A list.
The fact that I have prepped for a show is insane.
A list.
Okay, so first of all, Adam loved your video that you posted explaining the difference between flip and LUTs. So thorough. You popped up in my Twitter feed. I was like, whose fuck-ass broken ankle is this? And it was just a screenshot of your inside edge flip and your outside edge LUTs. And it really just made me take a second and realize I've never done a LUTs on an edge that outside.
You know,
I thought your foot was broken again.
It does, like when you're out of it and then you see it up close, it is sort of like to do a LUTs, you have to break your leg. And that is sort of the requirement that people don't. I'm one of many people who have broken legs.
Sure.
To do the LUTs jump.
But you know who has not broken their leg, to my knowledge at least? Was our favorite male figure skater.
Oh, wait. This is hilarious.
Nicolai Mamola, who read himself for filth in mm-hmm. the comment section, basically taking notes on how to do a proper outside edge LUTs. And we love a self-deprecating king on this podcast.
Yeah, I think he commented and said, I'm going to save this video because I obviously don't know the difference.
Right.
Yeah, well...
It's
and I
so
obviously
funny.
Have never held that against him.
No. I think we should give Nicolai Memola 10 more points to his Olympic qualifying journey mm-hmm. just for the comment.
Which is ending at Europeans.
Oh my God, so high stakes.
Yes.
Yeah. So many changing things.
Mm-hmm. Rules.
Rules.
They're meant to be flexible.
Right. And broken.
Yeah. So U.S. championships. Here
wait,
we
no,
go.
Wait, no, I have two more
no,
things.
She's oh, my got God. A list.
I have a
focus.
List.
God, okay. I'm upset with myself.
The Korean Olympic team being mm-hmm. announced, and Chaeyoung didn't qualify, which is, you know, not like, based on her season, I wouldn't say like I'm shocked, but at the same time, looking at what she's done over the past couple of years, it does just feel weird to not have her on the Olympic team.
I mean, it also feels shocking that Korea doesn't have three spots, too.
I know. I agree.
It's, so. I mean, this is the really tough part about this Olympic season mm-hmm. is that we see people who we've had, who we've seen had, have a lot of success. She's a world medalist.
Yeah.
In this quad, and she won't be going to the Olympics. It's like, this is yeah. the thing that's like so shocking. Like, we get so attached to these skaters and we get so used to seeing them, and that if they struggle in this like Olympic season, then we don't get to see them at the Olympics. And so, I feel really badly for her. I think mm-hmm. we all do. Yeah. Like, it's, we've all been there for sure.
At least the two of us have. And yeah. Sarah, well, I think vicariously true. Because we were all friends at that time.
That's
so
true.
You have earned an honorary seat at home during the Olympics.
Yeah. Thank you. You have an honorary missed team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, I did actually end up staying in Connecticut once when I thought I was going to Beijing because of the pandemic, which felt a little like I was staying at home when I thought I was going to go.
I mean, that if this true. Podcast had a nickel for every time we thought we were going somewhere and ended up in Stamford, Connecticut.
Oh, yeah, that's so, so true. True.
We'd
so
have true. Three nickels.
So true. I know.
We'd have three nickels. All right. My last and final.
I love this segment, by the way.
I know. This is called Ashley Came Prepared.
Exactly.
Exclamation point, question mark. Alyssa's costume change. Well, technically not a change because we have confirmation, right, that we're going to be seeing Gaga mm-hmm. at Nationals. And yes. she's been skating in gold all mm-hmm. season. Mm-hmm. And she posted a
close
let's
up.
Be real. It's silver.
It's yeah. silver.
She said platinum, but
no, it's silver.
It's silver.
It's silver.
Platinum is silver, mm-hmm. by right. the way.
It's yeah. just silver with a rebrand.
I mean, tell that to Yevgeny Plushenko, who got silver and just right. told everyone
he
it
knows.
Was platinum. He knows better than anybody.
He's aware. They're the same.
Yeah. Thoughts, everyone.
You just can't go to another metallic.
No.
You have to go to a color.
You can't mix metals.
No.
As they
well,
say
you
in
can.
Fashion. You can, but not this way.
Not this way.
I, you know, I'm not to like give a prediction, but my prediction is that I'm excited that we're going to see Gaga at Nationals. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for a new costume. I'm excited for all of that. I am predicting now, because you can't go from silver to gold. Okay. You just like, I don't think that you can.
From and gold listen, to silver?
Excuse me. Yes.
Okay.
You
I'm
can't
just
go
sure.
from. From gold to silver. If you've been wearing gold and it's been successful, like you've been winning gold.
Mm-hmm. Winning a lot. A lot. Winning a world title.
Maybe
winning a Grand Prix final.
Winning the most, right?
Winning more than anyone else.
I think that, and you know, Alyssa does things that I think, yeah, maybe you shouldn't do that. Kind of like piercing yourself. She does that.
Mm-hmm.
I predict that she will skate this and she will get the Gaga out of her system and that she will go back to her current
MacArthur
free skate.
Park.
MacArthur Park in the gold dress for Olympics. That's what I'm thinking.
Really?
And I think that everyone will feel like rejuvenated by it. And I think everyone will be like, no, that's the right thing to do. That's what I'm thinking. What do I know? Nothing.
I mm-hmm. guess. I mean, look, that could happen. And you're saying it. I could see it.
Yeah.
But wow, that would feel like a lot of effort to have been spent on another program that we know she has had to spend a lot of time not only doing in the first place, but then completely reworking. because yeah. the new music cuts are up on her bio and they're mm-hmm. different, you know, so they had to completely rework that program. So I don't know. It's just a lot of effort spent to do it once at Nationals.
It is, but I will say
this. And
not
plan to do it at the Olympics. You know what I mean?
I think that she might think that, like, if this goes well, and maybe it will go great or whatever. Like, who knows? But I think that also Alyssa was just on 60 Minutes the other mm-hmm. night.
I saw it. Yeah.
And it was a great profile.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that, like, that new program and working on that is something that is, whether she did it on purpose or not, it's such a needed distraction when there's so much going on, when yeah. she has this project to work on, and whether she does it or not, it's a lot of effort and it's a lot of work, but it doesn't take away from her training.
No.
She's still, like, working on her skating, and she's still having to do programs to the new music and whatever. But it's truly, like, if she doesn't do it, it's not in vain. It's something that distracted her from the monotony of doing the same thing for a year.
That's true. Mm-hmm. It's a good,
good
point.
A good mental tactic, to be fair. And you know me, I'm very fair, if anything.
And mental.
And I'm mentally unwell.
Unstable.
Yeah.
Wait, I did love in the 60 Minutes piece, there was one of the questions was, how many times have you been fired by Alyssa's dad? And I'm obsessed with that. I'm obsessed that that was even a question to be asked.
Well, what did he say?
Three times, once verbally, and twice via text.
I like the text firing a lot.
No, that's so funny.
Incredible.
Sometimes you need a paper trail of, like, no, he was fired. Here's the text.
Right. No, legally, it makes
Here's
sense.
Here's the two texts at different times.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's so funny.
But I think you have a good point of it just being a great distraction no matter what. So we'll see what becomes of it. That makes me feel like Isabel Lovito is going to be national champion or something.
Mm. Listen, I could see it because
I could
see she.
It. I could easily see it.
In this field, training wise, like, Amber and Alyssa are at the disadvantage of having to have recovered and then get ready for nationals right after mm-hmm. the Grand Prix final. Obviously, this bodes better for them when it comes to the criteria that they yeah. were both at the. And I think at this point we can pretty much assume that Amber and Alyssa have done the absolute most to be on that Olympic team. Mm-hmm. It has to be the biggest disaster of a lifetime.
And, I mean, and even still, then, don't know if really there's anything that's going to take them off that team.
No, I agree with that. And I mean, they're both. Amber was the Grand Prix final. I don't know if the Grand Prix final from last year counts, but she was the Grand Prix final champion last year. But she was the national champion last year, and she was in the top five at Worlds and at the Grand Prix final this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
But I totally agree. I feel like I'm talking so much. I'm so sorry. I had a Red Bull right before here. So I'm like, I'm.
You're ready to go.
Yeah, I am.
You have wings.
I do. It gives you wings.
Okay, let's get into U.S. championships. So obviously a lot on the line this week. We have Olympic qualifiers. I feel like it's – where do you guys want to start?
Well, should we start with just kind of overview of the spots that are available and how they're picking them?
Let's do that.
So there's three women's spots, three men's spots, three ice dance spots, two pair spots. Mm-hmm. And the selection criteria, or I should say the selection procedures, say that basically they will look at a set of data. There's going to be a group of athletes that qualify to be in the, quote, selection pool, based on past performances, past medals at different things, et cetera. And anyone who's in the selection pool, they will run a set of data that includes basically all their results from the last year, and the number of points that they get for each result is factored based on how important that event is. So the most important event is this event in St. Louis. That's the one that's going to get the most weight. So if you score 200 total points at this event, you're going to get 800 points. And they're like, it's by a factor of four. And then there's other events earlier in the year, Grand Prix, Grand Prix Final, Challenger Series, that are at a lower factor, but your total score gets inputted. And so you end up with a score that's in, if you've done a lot of events, in the thousands, probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The selection procedures do not say that the people with the three most points get selected. That's not how it works.
It rules says are meant to be flexible.
It says that they are looking at the data for everybody, that this is the data that they will run and that they will use. And then it says, then a committee will discretionarily select Olympic team members.
I love when they say it like that. As someone who has benefited from there being a bit of discretion, because I think it's really easy for people to get up in arms, like, these are the rules, these are the rules. But at the same time, like, I do think you need a little bit of that discretion because, I mean, Justin Dylan, who we talked to at our live show, made a really interesting point about an athlete's trajectory being something worth being considered here. Yeah. So say like an athlete has a dumpster fire of a U.S. championships and misses out on a ton of points. Like that doesn't need to 1,000% disqualify them from being considered for the Olympic team. And that discretion is really crucial in cases like that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the good news is that they've defined this data pretty clearly. They published a sample Excel sheet so that everybody can run this data, and people have, like, online. Like, people have run this data through the model to, like, see where skaters' points are and everything. So I think the benefit of that is that even though it is not defined as, like, you get the most points, you're on the team, it makes it harder for them to justify something that isn't that in that order. And because everybody can see it, the athletes, the fans, the coaches, everybody knows what these numbers are supposed to be. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I do think you have to take into account, you know, is someone trending down and they just did well at one event last year, or, you know, and that's really helping them, or, you know, I think there's a lot of things that they're going to want to take into account. But yeah, it does. I think it matters a lot still where you are in that data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, when we talk about the data, I mean, in the women's field specifically, we have there's four national champions in this group, between them, seven national titles. Mm-hmm. And when we've been looking at the data, it does feel like Amber and Alyssa are pretty much locked into the team.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is. And it's pretty close between Isabeau and Brady. It's very close.
Yeah.
I mean, when we look at last year, Isabeau does not have a nationals placement. Brady does. Brady was second at four continents. Isabeau was fourth at Worlds. And then at the Grand Prix, they were both fourth at one of their events. Isabeau was second at her second, and Brady was fourth at her second. So it's...
Yeah, so that's really the only leg up she has. Not the only, but I think it's definitely going to come down to those two. And that's how they perform at nationals is really going to matter there.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they like factor in, they include in the data, like, whatever challengers you did this year, too. So I don't know where they stacked up on their
hasn't
challengers.
Brady been booked and busy? I feel like Brady's done every challenger she possibly can. I don't, that girl lives out of a suitcase.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's the only real question mark, and I still don't really think that it is. Like, I think that you'd like the points that they're getting are pretty different, even if the placements are close.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, when you look at the Grand Prix this year, yes, maybe both of them got a fourth place, but did they score the same amount of points? I think Isabeau was scoring much better. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's actually taken into account, not the placement. It's the points that you got.
Right.
So I would be surprised if this team is not the three women from Worlds last year. I would just be really surprised at that.
I mean, and that's also why we were, like, saying Isabeau could be national champion.
Right.
Like, easily.
I could easily see that.
Easily.
I don't know if I could see Brady taking a title, but I would love to be proven wrong. Like, it'd be awesome to see these two.
I think,
like,
that's
have
something that could
their lives.
Throw this in a blender would be totally. Someone other than these three winning the national title. And otherwise, I don't really see how you throw one of them out.
And
Brooke
watch it
Chawalt.
Be no it's Sophie Chawalt. Jolene Von Felten. She's the she's the girl who's doing quads.
Yeah, she's just not age eligible. So unfortunately, but yeah, I mean, no, I mean, if you like, if Brady Tennell or Star Andrews or Sarah Everhart, you know, just wins the national title, that
it's a wrench.
You know, it creates,
Oh my God. Sarah Everhart, go win nationals and see what they have to do. I don't want to see that happen. Oh, that'd make my heart sing. I think you're right though. I think it's, I see it as this world team from last year, and it's kind of hard to imagine it being anything else at this point.
I'll be honest. I really, and I am usually lying on this podcast, but this time I'll be honest.
Mm-hmm. And we always say, Sarah, stop lying.
Yeah,
people listen to
on.
This.
Enough.
I would
as
really
he downs
love
more Red Bull
for there not to be a wrench. And that's not because I'm cheering against anyone. I would love for this to just be clear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
because
for
these
the
three
athletes.
Feel like they have done what they were supposed to do all year long.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to come down to something that feels up in the air and controversial for their sake. And that's not me cheering against somebody else winning a national title, but I would rather just see three strong performances from these three women. Not, I mean, also just to send them off to the Olympics.
A good send off.
Yeah. With confidence. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Feeling good.
Yeah, it's not fun to qualify for an Olympics in a controversial way. Let me tell you that.
Yeah, but I'll tell you that when you did, I know people made a big fuss about it, but it was one of the most uncontroversial decisions to have you on the Olympic team. Like, you had just medaled at the Grand Prix final.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying, but
yeah, I mean, I think
Whoever they put on the team, it would be pretty clear in that same way. But just the general public, it's not fun having people doubt whether or not you should be on a team. And that, takes up mental space. So I agree, Sarah. I hope
and we've both been in that position of, like, our pewter medals are what the last thing we did before we went to the Olympics.
Yes. And worked out just fine for us. We're twins.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, Ashley, inevitably in Olympic season, the general public is involved and the general press that doesn't follow all the time is involved. Inevitably, there are people who don't understand the selection procedures completely and thought that it was, you know, or there's just, again, casual fans who come in with a framework from other sports they watch or whatever, thinking, it should just be the top three without having watched for a year or whatever. And I do think that, it creates an extra circus around it if there's not a clear result. So.
Yeah.
No. So I'm with you too. No controversy, please.
Please.
You know what I do feel like is going to be a bit of a circus?
Go on.
Dance.
Yeah. I think you're right about that.
So tepid.
Okay, well, obviously, Maddie and Evan, I can't, I mean, they're,
they're on the team.
Yeah. Let's move on. It's not even worth saying, like, barring disaster. No, every year disaster strikes. Every year.
Disaster can actually strike them. And
actually
they would
does.
Go.
I know. I sent Adam a text saying, I wonder what, like, horrible illness they'll be suffering every year. They get so sick at U.S. championships that it's like, are they gonna skate? Maybe, maybe not.
I know. Last year, Evan looked like he was gonna throw up mid free dance.
Yeah.
So,
and I think it was Maddie the year before that was like,
yes, it was.
They were on the warm up and we were commentating, and our researchers were like, they might not skate.
Oh, yeah. That was so
our
fun. Our researcher, Sarah.
I to that end, though, I think Evan could throw up mid free dance this year and they would go to the Olympics.
Yes. There's no doubt. It's
anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we all feel like Emily Azingis and Vadim Kolesnik are going to be on this team too if they just skate clean here.
Yeah.
Ooh, do you guys agree with that?
I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, I would even say that if they make a mistake, just of the way that they've placed and gotten points throughout the entire season.
This is a trajectory team.
A trajectory team because they don't have the highest placement from nationals last year. They don't have a world championships placement from last year. They're mm-hmm. relying on what has happened this fall, but the trending, that's where this discretionary could come in. Like, it's very possible a Christina Carrera, Anthony Ponomarenko have more points on paper. Mm-hmm. I haven't done this math, by the way. And, you know, I'm sure
someone listening has.
Someone listening can absolutely
and they're shouting into
correct
the void right
us
now.
Or send us DMs about it. I'm sorry, I haven't done it, but
Sarah lying
either
again.
Way, that's why the discretionary criteria exists, to mm-hmm. Ashley's yeah. point earlier.
Yeah.
And so they're probably going to go.
Christina and Anthony returning to their perfume free dance, which I think is the right call.
Yes.
It, for yeah. them as a team, it's like a program that just kind of captures their magic in a much more effective way compared to Esmeralda, Hunchback. What did they call that?
Notre
program?
Dame of Paris. De Paris.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, De Paris. Sorry. Excuse me. Esmeralda.
Excuse me. Esmeralda Hunchback. They're skating to Hunchback.
Quasimodo.
Yeah, this program is like, it's like a signature of theirs. Yeah. Like when I think of the first time I felt like they made a real mark for themselves, it's this program. Where it was like, I mean, didn't they win the free dance at Nationals when like Evan and Maddie were dying?
Yeah.
Well, she's portraying someone who's dying too. How fun.
I think it's very, yeah. This is the program where you felt like, okay, I know who they are.
Yes, agreed.
And she looks so expensive in this program. Like the way that she's moved. It was, for me, the first program I saw of theirs where you recognize the influence of Maddie Hubbell.
Yes, agreed.
Like you see Maddie in this. Mm-hmm. And I think that only serves them well. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I feel like that bodes well for them mm-hmm. to be coming back to that. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense that they would make a change after the scores they got at Skate America were not very high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have another change in the field. Maya and Alex Shibatani, new rhythm dance.
Mm-hmm. Do we know what it is?
Yes. And I'm blanking on what it is right now. You guys talk amongst yourselves about the old rhythm dance while I find the new music. Because I'm not sure I felt like they needed to change this one.
This one, I felt like was fine.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I honestly feel that like they tried to play the like nostalgia card with the Coldplay free dance. And I think that like it didn't hit as hard as they were hoping. And if I were going to change a program, it would have been the Coldplay one. Because
it also makes sense because then it's like, here, we came back, we gave you the moment.
Yes.
Now we're going to do this fresh.
Agreed. That's right. That's exactly how I
would have played it. Yeah. But now we get another 90s program, which the world does not need more of, let me tell you.
Well, yeah.
Can I tell you something?
We're getting more anyway.
Yeah. Something that I think is insane. I think that us in the skating world, we're like, these are crazy and we don't like any of them. I actually do kind of think that the general public is going to
be so into them.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have no idea what's going on. And this is what people think figure skating is.
Yeah. They think it's the 90s.
They think it's the 90s.
Yes.
And they think it's a bunch of fools in like costumes.
Which it
dancing
is.
Around.
To it be is. Fair, it is a it bunch is. Of fools.
But this is like playing into the caricature of figure skating. And people are going to love it.
They
okay,
are.
Okay, they're doing this new rhythm dance to Canned Heat, which I knew and forgot.
Which one is that?
You'll see.
Okay, so we don't know.
I don't know it off the top of my head. I'm sure it's something we'll recognize, though. Yeah, I mean, to your point, okay, not only does the general public probably think like, oh, you know, I love the 90s. Great, whatever. Mm-hmm. Are you listening to Canned Heat right now, Ashley?
Yeah.
Is it the song or the artist?
The song is called Canned Heat.
Okay. Put it up to the mic.
Is it by Jamiroquai?
Yes. It is.
You know this. Jeffrey Buttle loved to eat up at Jamiroquai.
Oh.
Oh, it makes me want to dance with my sister. No, it's really good. Like, it's good music. Somebody call my sister.
Where's Dagny? Someone go get Dagny.
Call Dagny. Get her on the phone right now.
Get
or Jordan.
On the podcast. Yeah, one of them.
We're doing an open call for Adam's sisters.
Yeah.
Which I was once mistaken as.
Mm-hmm. Were you?
Oh, yeah. By Reese Witherspoon.
That's cool.
Yes. She was like, I was with Adam at an appearance and Reese Witherspoon like wanted to quote unquote meet Adam's family. And I just like tagged along with Adam's brother, Brady.
Mm-hmm.
We go down there and I realized she was like kind of taking that seriously. She hugged us both and she was like, oh my God, I'm so happy to meet you guys. How's your mom? And
oh
I
my
just,
God.
And I was like, she's
Kelly's influence goes far and wide.
I was like, she's great. She's so sad she's not here.
Mm-hmm. And that, in that moment, you have to save Reese Witherspoon from herself.
No,
well, you
had
can't
to just
embarrass her. Well, you are now the biological offspring of Kelly Rippon.
Yes.
And I always was.
Well,
you were
in
the
way.
Sixth child.
Seventh.
Seventh.
Yeah.
Sorry, I always forget that you are
one of six.
One of six.
Yes.
And you have five siblings.
Yes. Sarah, if you remember, it was the Colbert show or whatever.
It was.
Okay. And so we were there and somebody went backstage and they said, Reese would like to meet Adam's family. And so Sarah was going to stay behind.
And
my
Adam
brother
was like,
no, I wasn't there.
No, Adam was gone. He was like, I was in makeup or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And
wasn't with us.
My brother said, can my sister come too?
Brilliant move.
I know.
Fucking all star. Amazing. Saved my life.
It's so funny.
And then later that day, Reese Witherspoon put a photo of me and her and Brady on her Instagram story and said, look who I met, Adam Rippon's siblings. Which brings me back to wanting to dance with my brother.
Yes.
Canned Heat.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do wonder if this injects enough new life into the Shibatani's campaign to try to make this Olympic team. I'm not sure.
I mean, they don't really have criteria.
It's going to have to be on a trending, right?
Yeah.
It's going to have to be that everyone feels like they're going in the right direction and that they are going to be able to outscore one of the other teams in Milan.
But what's interesting is that, like, we've talked about Zingis and Kolesnik. We've talked about Carrera and Ponomarenko. We haven't even brought up Green and Parsons yet, who they've beaten the Shibutanis this year. So it's, they are, like, it will be very interesting if they start to get scores that are beating those three teams.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and they, you know, what I think would happen if the push was for them to be on the team, they would get third in the rhythm dance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that would be a big indicator of what we're looking at.
What's to come.
You know, I don't know. I feel like I don't know. I feel like it should be between Christina and Anthony and Caroline and Michael on the body of work in the last year. And like I know Maya was injured and that impacted their body of work and all of that, but I still think that that's who the third spot should be between.
She was dealing with a knee injury, what
knee
was it?
Fracture.
Yeah.
Ay-yi-yi.
Insane.
But that I think it should be between them, and I think we'll know pretty quickly if there's three teams in the mix or there's not. In the rhythm dance, probably will just tell us that. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be great.
But I
think it's gonna be dramatic. This feels very like I feel tense talking about this for them.
I mean, the Green Parsons free dance, I love it. It's one of my favorite free dances of the season. But I do believe that, like, the perfume could be something that I think that's exactly.
I think that was the smartest thing I could have done.
Smart. It's really smart.
I think that could really, like, reinvigorate.
It will come
completely
down. To well, how
and it's just
skates.
Like it's a known good program. Yeah. And like its reputation is gonna do some work.
And we forget that when they got those scores at Skate America, she was right before getting her citizenship. Mm-hmm. So now it's like a known quantity that she's eligible and she can go.
Yes. More momentum.
Yeah.
I don't think that hurts. It's always like the story of the person matters, you know, like backstory. Judges are just part of the audience at the end of the day. So,
right.
And if she's willing to take our country as her own in its current state, she Come deserves on. To be on the team. Come on.
Can we just give
she's
her anything?
She's seen past bad. All the bad.
Mm-hmm. She's willing to and actively make our country us. Better.
I mean, her being a citizen does
I know.
It better.
That's what I'm
She's
saying.
She's so lovely.
Absolutely.
And Vadim, too. We have two brand new citizens
Yes,
in
we
this.
Do.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Should we talk about the pairs and a potential third brand new citizen or not?
Yeah. Okay. So What's I saw something on? Very vague where it was like we're hearing some updates. But part of me is like, are you trying to buy yourself time? Like, are you just putting the rumor of an update out there? Or is like there, what kind of an update would we be getting?
There, US Figure Skating's like editorial arm where they do articles and stuff put out an article where a few days ago where they said that they are like awaiting a decision about her citizenship this week.
Oh, whoa.
What would I mean? You know,
it has
so,
to be this
I mean,
week.
It has to, I mean, yeah, it has to be this week, but still, it's down to the wire.
Look, like, I don't know what that means. I don't know where they are in whatever. It would be like a hurried along process, obviously. But that's, you know, that's where that is coming from. People saying they're hearing while they're reading an article. So that's
I either saw,
what they're doing.
That's
I
like me when
saw
I
a tweet. I either saw a tweet or it was in the article that she speaks like seven languages. And I immediately was like, don't advertise that. That's the least American thing you could do.
Yeah. No, you speak one.
That disqualifies you.
Yeah. You only speak English
You're
now.
Worldly for this country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I know. And sad at the same time.
I know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think if we're looking at the body of work, like we have been, you know, for these other disciplines, this team has the best one in the last year.
Yeah.
So it would be a shame to not be able to send them. And it's, you know, obviously it's just citizenship is citizenship and that is what it is. So, you know, who knows, but so I think if she manages to become a citizen, then they're going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I mean, there is a drop dead date of when she needs to be a citizen by. I'm almost.
Is it like the 16th or something?
It's, yeah, that's, it's like defined by the IOC, wherever it is, like where you're, you need like a passport by a certain like date. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a big question mark.
It's a huge question mark.
I don't think it is. I don't think that it's in. I don't think it's happening. It's
Let's put the energy out into the universe that it does, though. That would be nice.
Yeah, no, it would be nice.
Another, we would be so lucky.
Of course, six languages from one mouth.
I would take one.
I would take one of them, and she'd still, if we both took one, she'd still speak
she'd
four.
She'd still know more than us.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I know that, like, when these things happen, like, just from talking with people at the USOPC, like, the USOPC will do a lot of what they, whatever they can to try to help an athlete in this type of circumstance. Obviously, the athlete themselves can have legal counsel and is doing whatever they can. Mm-hmm. The USOPC can, you know, has like strings they could or levers they can pull to try to get the State Department to help. It's just a, you know, who knows if it's been enough, whatever's been done for her.
Yeah.
So if they're not going, Then we're looking at two spots.
Mm-hmm.
Katie McBeath and Danielle Parkman. Danielle does not have citizenship, so they are not in contention for this team. But
I think we're looking at like Audrey Shin and Balazs Nagy.
Well, Ellie Kam and Danny Kam and O'Shea.
O'Shea will be.
Well, I think Kam and O'Shea. I'm almost assuming that they have the best criteria out of all of the teams, aside from Efimova and Mitrofanov, who we were just talking about. I think Kam and O'Shea are your number one lock, and then that's where I do feel like Shin and Nagy. They have the best chance if Efimova Mitrofanov. Do you not think so?
Well, what about Chan and
what about
Hau?
Emily? Yeah,
oh
Emily
my
and Spencer.
God. That's so true. Yeah. What is everybody's pulse on the situation?
I mean, I'm going off of the way that Audrey and Balazs looked at the Olympic qualifier and that kind of pressure. It just looked like it was consuming them, particularly her.
But since then, they've worked with Tessa Virtue, who is numb
to
pressure.
Trap. How does that change your opinion?
It doesn't. I think I would just be curious. The programs are going to be a little bit more refined and developed. I've had more time with them. So I think that that's going to be going in their favor as far as nerves and pressure goes. And I really hope that they have a skate where they can rise to the challenge. Because I feel like when the Olympic spot was on the line, and realistically, I don't think that they were ever going to get that additional spot. That
it was
being said, it looked like it ate them alive.
Yeah, but you know what? It was like the beginning of the Olympic season. She's still in her second season of pairs. And for her, it's like more time in as a pair girl is only going to be helpful to her. So it's going to be really interesting. But, you know, that being said, I cannot believe that I forgot Chan and Hau, who have been really good over the past like few years. They've had some like injuries that they've been dealing with, but like, they absolutely could be on that team.
Yeah. So, I mean, the way it, like their last year looks is these teams, Chan and Hau got fourth at nationals. Shin and Nagy got fifth. Shin and Nagy went to four continents, did not do very well there, but went, they got 11th, and Chan and Hau did not go. And then Chan and Hau did, I think, two Challenger Series events and two Grand Prix. Shin and Nagy did at least four Challenger Series events. Or I don't know if John Nix is technically on the Challenger Series or if it's just like John Nix Challenge. So maybe they did three Challenger Series. But they did at least four small events this year. Plus they did one Grand Prix. So I got to think those teams are pretty close in points. And whoever beats the other would get a spot in nationals. That's kind of how it feels like it would shake out.
I agree.
Agreed.
Yeah. Hear, hear.
Cheers to that.
Can
we talk about the men? Because this is another like really interesting event. When I think it comes to like these Olympic spots, I think Ilya is another one who I think you absolutely should consider a lock. I think broken a world record twice this season. Undefeated.
I mean, another person who could, I mean, he could withdraw.
And he could withdraw and he's going to be named to the team.
So
he does not have to do this.
No.
And nationals is actually notoriously kind of a rough event for him.
Well, it's an event where he can try things and not
it's
do
true,
well.
It's true.
Like, you know,
I mean, yeah, there's like not that pressure that kind of
fuels
him.
It's a test event. He's
Well,
could you
saying,
imagine Olympic qualifiers is like
no. As somebody who failed the test, no.
Yeah. Who failed the test twice?
Well, he was saying on his like press call last week that a lot of times this time of year he is when he breaks in new boots or new skates, and so. I think that probably is a little explainer too of like why he can be a little off kilter at nationals. And I get like you guys are saying he's allowed to do that at nationals because he's who he is. So
right. Yeah. And it's we're not even saying that like he's not taking it seriously. It's like
no.
his periodization is such where like this event is about working out bugs, trying yeah. different things, doing a slightly different layout because he can take those risks because his gap between the rest of the field is he's not putting anything like on the line here. And so for him, like that's what this event is about.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of these skaters, it's like they have to have like the performance of their life here.
He does not.
Ilya's on track to like his periodization is at is as such where he's hoping to have those performances in a few weeks from now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Ooh, that's so exciting. I don't know. It just kind of like tickled me that the Olympics are in a few weeks.
I can't wait. And I also feel
tickled.
Like
I feel my heart constricting.
Well, Sarah, you that. And I are going to be hanging out for 3 weeks. You should be so excited. I'm so excited.
Yeah, you're right. That doesn't make me feel anxious at all.
No, I'm bringing wine. I'm going to have a great time.
Makes you feel relaxed, even.
Yeah.
Makes me feel like dancing with my sister.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. So Ilya is going to the Olympics.
Ilya's going to the Olympics.
Yes.
But who's going with him? I mean, obviously, I think Jason Brown is someone that we have to talk about. I feel like this season was, the start's been a little rough for him, but I still feel like he's a very, very real contender for the team.
I mean, let's look at how rough the season was last year and how it right. ended at the World Championships, where he was right where he needed to be. And then let's look at the season that he had this year where, like, he was much better throughout the Grand Prix mm-hmm. this year. He's, mm-hmm. like, he's in his 30s. He's taking this, like, as a completely different, like, route than these other skaters are. Yeah. And he knows when he needs to, like, peak. He's proven that over and over again. And even though he has had these performances that, like, aren't his best, he's still placing better than the other American men. He's still getting mm-hmm. more points than the other American men. And if I'm thinking of like of the team event, you'd have to imagine that like if we really are trying to get a team gold, that Evan and Maddie would probably skate both segments. Then we'd have, I could imagine that happening. And then if we had substitutes in the men and the women, you'd imagine that if I were trying to pick that team right now, I'd want to make sure if we had a men's substitute, it was Jason because he's reliable.
That's Mr. Reliable for sure. I mean, I feel like the thing about Jason is, sure, the Grand Prix series, I would never say like he looks not ill-prepared, but like he's just not where he needs to be yet. But he's the kind of skater that once you get into the second half of the season, he's going to be where he needs to be. Like, that's
no doubt.
The thing that there's no doubt about. And so it's not even just like the trajectory of it. It's this reputation that he's spent years and years and years putting time and energy into where he's become Mr. Reliable. And you know that by the time Olympics comes around and Worlds later on, he's going to be exactly where he needs to be.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I don't think that, even though I guess the person who's maybe outperformed him in points this fall would be Tomoki Iwatashi, but Tomoki doesn't have as many points in the overall, I would think,
yeah.
mm-hmm. from, you know, just what Jason did at the end of last season. Mm-hmm. So I think Jason's sitting in a good spot. And
yeah.
he just needs to go out and be solid and, you know.
Yeah,
and
he needs to be solid.
He needs yes. to be solid. Like, if he makes a mistake at Nationals, you know, like, or a couple small ones, I don't think that's anything to worry about. If he starts to fall apart, you know, maybe that becomes an issue, but only if probably two other men are really, really strong.
Like having rock star skates.
Because of Jason's track record. It's,
yeah.
You just can't discount that. That's
no.
in the discretionary portion
yeah.
of this selection
yeah.
that's going to sit in every committee member's mind is that we've always been able to count on Jason when we really needed him.
Mm-hmm.
I agreed.
Yeah.
I feel like it's really then coming down to three men for that third spot. So Tomoki Iwatashi, then we have Maxim Naumov and Andrew Torgachev. Those mm-hmm. I would say are the three. Jacob Sanchez is a name that I think you're going to see have some success, but I don't necessarily feel like he's in contention for
Yeah, I think, and I think Jimmy Ma is a little, Jimmy Ma's in a similar position almost as
totally.
Max, I think, like Do in terms you? Of just not having a lot of points. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. And I
Max has had some success in the Challenger series this season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just wouldn't be surprised if they're kind of close.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I think Max has been a little up and down. So but yeah, I agree with you. I think I think Andrew Torgashev is in almost exactly that same spot.
Agreed.
All like
the three of
neck.
Them are.
Like
yeah.
Tomoki feels like he's in the best position, but mm-hmm. Tomoki is also feels like a complete wild card to me of what he's going to do mm-hmm. at Nationals.
He's been
and I think
way more reliable this season though.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Totally.
Yes.
Totally. I think if, but here's what I think. If Tomoki is clean and Max or Andrew is also completely clean, Max or Andrew will outscore Tomoki. That's what I think in the building.
I think okay. so too. Based on cleanliness of like the potential, like scoring, based on the scoring potential of like the grade of execution of all of their elements.
Yeah.
That's
and Tomoki
what I
has higher
too.
Scores than either of them.
Yes.
This season.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're saying is like, I think that neither Max nor Andrew has had a really strong season, and Tomoki has had his strongest season we've seen in years.
Yeah. Mm.
So I just wonder if Max Naumov skates two clean programs, I would
put
be shocked if he doesn't go to the Olympics.
Team.
Oh,
I would be shocked.
Put him on that team.
Yeah.
Because the
I
whole
mean,
crowd is going to be with Max.
Yeah.
His scores are going to go like through the roof if yeah. he's clean, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because he's
so,
also a gorgeous skater.
He's a gorgeous skater.
He is. And he has great programs. Like I love that he like leans into the classical more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So...
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah,
I mean if
Andrew,
he's clean,
we've seen, has a high
yeah.
ceiling at Nationals. I mean, yep. Andrew won the free skate at Nationals not too long ago.
Andrew loves a good national skate.
Yeah, he mm-hmm. does.
Loves to so, peak at U.S. Championships.
I really don't, like, I don't have a prediction for this third spot.
Oh, same.
It's
I
too.
I can see it going so many different ways.
Like, yes. I do not have a lean in the way that I feel like I do in, at least in, like, in dance, I feel like I'm leaning towards Carrera, Panamarenko are probably the ones I would guess if I had to guess.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea who I would guess for the men.
Right. I mean,
partially because the men are not.
The men will men.
Like, they do and they have and they will.
They will.
They love to.
They love it.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be really interesting. Because also, that being said, if these, like, if, like, Hiwatashi, Naumov, or Torgashev skates clean, it's not unrealistic to assume that they'd be second at Nationals and could beat Jason. Like,
yeah.
It's really going to be quite the event.
There are a lot of different scenarios that could play out in the men's event.
Oh, yeah.
I think more than any other of the disciplines.
Yeah,
I
the
agree.
Men's event has like the most potential for it to be like a wild card event.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, totally, totally agree. Oof. And
that's exciting.
Yeah. A sad withdrawal from the men's event. A couple sad withdrawals
Camden.
This week,
oh,
actually.
Yeah.
Camden Polkinen out of the men, Ava Marie Ziegler out of the women.
Oh, I didn't even realize she was competing.
I didn't know that she's out.
Yeah, she's out.
Girl.
I didn't realize she was ever in.
We need to get her into like a hyperbolic chamber.
I know.
Oxygen therapy. Heal the bones. The fascia.
But I mean, I think the national schedule is set up to be fun because the pairs and the women are going to finish up on Friday night and the dance and the men are on Saturday evening. So we'll have those big question marks saved for the very end.
Mm-hmm.
It's making me nervous.
It's
also,
making
wait,
I have
this
butterflies.
Is the one time of year I get to see my absolute favorite skater of all time.
Adam Rippon.
Well,
Sarah Hughes. Sonia Hilmer.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I love Sonia Hilmer.
Wait,
so
she
much.
Has I think maybe we've talked about it like at the beginning of the season, but she has this like phenomenal
yes.
short program this year.
Oh
yes.
My god, the footwork sequence is so
it's
good.
Phenomenal.
I'm excited
it's,
to watch it in person.
Me too. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm
so
excited
nice
to see.
So nice to know I'm like not cool enough for her. You
I'm
know?
Excited to see Sherry Zhang again.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, she's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm excited to see her. I always love seeing Samuel Mindra.
Love Sam.
Same.
Love him. Big fan.
I want to see Star skate the way she did at Skate America too.
Oh, yeah.
That final, would be great.
Final nationals as a single skater.
Mm-hmm.
Alert, alert, alert.
Obviously Brady and Somerville.
Yes, obviously.
My favorites.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see them.
Oh, and the Browns, Una and Gage.
Oh, yeah.
Love The Godfather.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't watch The Godfather enough times.
Yeah.
No.
Enjoying that every time. Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, I love pre-Olympic nationals is, I always tell people it's the craziest, like emotional roller coaster of an event that I've ever been to.
I'm kind of like nauseous thinking about it.
I am too. I have like a butterfly. I can't tell if it's the Red Bull or if it's the adrenaline.
It's both. Yeah, it's amplifying the adrenaline.
Mm-hmm. There's something else that we're all very excited for.
Yeah, the there show. Is a few things.
Yes.
Three.
So we have our three live shows. But for the very first time ever on the Run Through podcast, we will be having an Olympic champion at our Thursday live show.
And who could that be?
Anyone. Well, anyone could be an Olympic champion.
It couldn't be any of us.
Yeah. Or Michelle, unfortunately. Yeah.
Unfortunately, not Michelle either.
Or Justin Dillon.
Yeah. So I guess you'll have to come to the Thursday show to find out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who our first Olympic champion is.
Yeah. I guess I will have to go.
I'll be there.
I'm planning to be there as well. I can't wait. It's going to be so fun.
Oh, it'll be amazing.
We need to do these live shows so I can get the nervous energy out that I'm feeling right now.
I know.
These selections.
I'm feeling so many butterflies right now. I'm not kidding. I feel almost sick.
Yeah. No, I feel sick. I feel like I'm trying to qualify for the Olympics again, and it's a not nice feeling.
You know, if you said, hey, I'm feeling sick, if you said 4 years ago, that would mean that you were getting COVID at the super spreader event
in Nashville.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I'm feeling sick. Get to your room. Andrea Joyce is going to be there to interview you.
Right. Lock the doors. Board them up.
We have new buttons for this Nationals.
Yes, we
Some
do.
Fresh designs. Yeah. Done by Adam.
The one and only.
Resident.
Our graphic designer.
Graphic designer.
Canva expert.
Yes.
Well, if you are a skater, we know that we have a couple of skaters who listen to this podcast. We just want to say, have a fabulous week. Go do your shit. You've trained all season for this. Enjoy as much as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. As much as you can.
You've got this.
Because this is the most exciting Nationals, regardless of how it goes. This is the most exciting Nationals you'll ever compete in. An Olympic year Nationals is just, it's unlike anything else. It's amazing.
True. And hey, if it doesn't happen this time, there's always 4 more years from now.
And sometimes there's always 8 more years. If
exactly.
You're me.
So. Sometimes it just takes a couple tries.
Look
That's
at
all.
Adam. Yeah. Look how he turned out.
He's fine. I'm fine. I'm crying blood. Blood is trickling out of my ears. I'm fine.
He's fine. He still has perfect jump technique on TikTok. So.
Yes, I do.
I can't believe that.
I couldn't believe it while I was doing the jumps either. So
I just didn't know you broke your ankle like that to do a Lutz. And
I know, it's
now
scary.
I still am like happy I didn't have a Lutz because I don't need to do that to my body.
No. You did other things to your body, but not not,
but
that.
Not that.
That's where
my
she draws the line.
My ankle just went the other way.
Yeah. In. Security.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, everybody, we are going to draft for our Patreon family. So if you're really curious about who I'm cursing, head on over there.
Ooh, we're going to try not to curse anybody.
No, we're going to be blessing people.
We're blessing people on the Patreon. So, you know, head on over there if you're interested in a blessing.
Yeah. But yeah, we cannot wait to see you in St. Louis. We still have a few tickets, not many, just a few available for our Thursday and Friday shows. So if you've been on the fence, it's time to get off.
Get off.
And jump get off to the run through.
Yeah. To the run through.
Jump. And yeah, we'll see you in St. Louis. We love you guys. Have a safe trip there. To all the skaters, like Ashley said, enjoy. Good luck. Have a great
We're cheering for you. You've got three friendly faces in the crowd.
Yes you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.